So this is what we're just calling a missions moment. We're just going to talk a little bit about what missions is, and that is actually our first question. Define missions for us. Start at the beginning.
Well, there's whole books written on that. You want the... So, the best way to think of it is this. God has a mission, right? He is a God of mission. And he invites us to be a part of it, right? And so, we have our mission unless we understand his, because it's not our idea, it's his. And so, you know, God is all about redeeming all things unto himself, right? That's why Jesus came. So really, the mission of God is broader than just evangelism. I mean, he came to redeem all things unto himself, right? And so God is interested in all of his creation that was affected by sin. Everything, relationships, everything was destroyed by sin. And so God, through Christ, is in the process of reconciling all of that. It includes creation. Obviously, it includes people and a messed up relationship with God. It includes our relationships with one another. And so God invites us as his people to join him on mission. And of course, he wants that to be accomplished everywhere. You know, where we are, but, you know, all the way out from wherever our Jerusalem is to the ends of the earth. And so in the whole world, he's at work seeking to redeem creation, to redeem himself, to redeem all things unto him through Jesus Christ. And so mission really involves everything. I mean, that's why he left us here. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we separate things and think, you know, missions is just out there. And yes, there's a cross-cultural aspect to it, but every believer is called to live on mission, right? And we communicate through what we do, through what we say, through what we are. Everything, you know, we are ambassadors, even if we're bad ones, right? Like we talked about Sunday, we're all priests, even if we're not very good at it. But we are anyway. That's our identity. And so God is inviting us to live out that identity where he's planted us. Now, if he's planted us here, that's where, you know, but we are continually communicating something about the God that we serve. And so his plan is for us as his people to live on mission. At work, at home, at school, at play, wherever we're at, we're always to be reflecting who Christ is so that others go, wow, this lady's different. This guy's different. Their attitude's different. Their approach is different. Their genuine concern is different. Well, why are you so different? Well, sometimes just because we're weird, right? But hopefully we're different because Jesus has made a difference in us, right? And we have a chance then to tell of the hope that we have. So then we talk about missions as doing that in a cross-cultural context. But it's really not any different from what we are all called to live 24/7 on mission. That's God's intent. We often forget that. But that's why he's left us here. That's why we don't get saved and go to heaven. He's left us here for a reason. And so we need believers in churches that live on mission. That's why he left us here.
So that phrase, on mission, mm-hmm. that would mean just living out what you believe? How does that look?
It is living out what you believe. It's, you know, again, we are continually communicating our hearts to those around us, right? People, we communicate with a lot more than just our words. Okay. Those people know if we really care or we don't care, right? And so, too often we see evangelism activity. Oh, we're going to have an evangelistic outreach. Well, what are we doing the rest of our lives? I mean, we're supposed to be continually aware that, okay, God, you've given me life today. I'm going to run into people. I'm going to work with people. And, you know, God, that's why God wants us to be full of the Spirit. And he wants us to... You know, it says, by your love for one another, they're going to know us. I mean, it's reputation. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of being holy and not sinning isn't just so we can be happy. It's just, oh, we've got good relationships. We know. It's just going to know who I am because you guys love each other. And so the tragedy of our sin isn't that we lose blessing. It's that we stain the name of the Lord we claim to serve and follow, right? And so that's why you can't separate that from what is missions, okay? Because it's like the idea is that the whole body of Christ is lit. So it is how I live, and obviously it's what I say as well.
More identity than activity.
It starts with identity. And if we just think it's an activity, then we're never going to participate, right? Or very rarely, you say, oh, I did my missions thing because I gave or I talked to somebody. Well, good. But the whole idea is all my life, mission, how I work, how I relate, it communicates what I understand about God, right? And so if we are living on mission, then that's when we have influence. And that's when we're the salt of the earth.
Hmm.
And that's when we're light, and that's where people, you know, we're sometimes it causes conflict, right? Jesus caused conflict because his priorities were in conflict with those around him. But that's where we need to be a counterculture where we're living out Jesus' values. And the more time goes on in our country, the more it's a counterculture, right?
Absolutely.
In so many ways.
So the second question is, how can the local church be effectively involved in world missions? What does that look like for a local body?
So I would go back and say the first thing every church needs to do is be a missional church. In other words, a church where we come together to say, okay, how's it going for you living on, what were your temptations and challenges and what was difficult? And what about you? You know, who are the unbelievers that God has put in your life, and what's happened this week? And so we need doctrine and we need to study the word, but it's always God's purpose is we do that so that we become better communicators of who he is, because that's why we're here. And it's just too easy to have the Bible to be, okay, you know, how can I be a good parent? How do I manage my money? Well, all that's true. The Bible teaches that and so much more. But it's not a how-to manual. If it's any kind of a how-to, it's a manual. It's how to live on mission. So if we have a local church full of people that are aware of that and they go to work, whatever their work is, going, okay, this is where God has called me. This is my ministry. My job is my ministry. And I'm here to serve God with all my heart, soul, and mind. Like he says to the Ephesians, he says, don't do it for your human boss. Do it for the Lord, right? Because I'm serving him. So I work in such a way to please him. And so when you have a whole church living that way continually, then there's overflow, right?
Mm.
And then it's real natural to say, okay, we're doing this here. Who can we send over there? Or there's an opportunity, you know. So where does God want us as a church then to extend that? You know, and we hear about places and things. And so the whole idea is, you know, Jesus asked us to make disciples, but he asked us to make disciples as we go, you know, as we baptize, as we, and when we understand, I mean, Gloria and I had the opportunity to be in Vietnam, first time in our lives, this summer, and we were in the city of Hanoi, which used to be North Vietnam, 10 million people, and maybe 1,000 believers. That's one for every 10,000 people. So that'd be like in all this area from, how many people live in the area?
25 to 30.
So that'd be 2 or 3 believers in the area. That's what it would be like. Right. And so you just think about that and you just see the streets teeming with people. And you wouldn't believe the number of little scooters of people. But it's like none of them know Jesus, right? And so as Christ followers, as we become that, yeah, of course there's needs here, right? There's tons of people with all kinds of needs. And that's true, and there always will be. But at the same time, there are places that have not yet ever heard, right? Those people that we saw, probably some of them have literally never heard the name Jesus Christ.
So you would say the local church needs to be effective where it's at first.
Yes.
And then the overflow of the world.
Yeah, I would say it's simultaneous, because the scripture does never say first, make disciples and join. You're all done there. Then you can start looking at the, when you're all done, that we would never go anywhere, right? It's not a matter of when we're all done. It's a matter of simultaneous.
Okay.
And so it's more, you know, a local church seeking God together saying, okay, God, I'm here. What do we need to do, you know, kind of out at the next level? and just, you know, till the ends of the earth, that, you know, we're responsible for it. And obviously no local church can come close to doing everything, but we do need to really think and pray together. How can we, first of all, live on mission here, and then how can that overflow, right? How can the waves go out from there? You know, whether God is leading someone from our congregation to go in. That's the ideal. When you've got congregations of people that are bringing up disciples that make disciples, it's real natural to send some of them to go do that somewhere else, right?
So, for an individual who is interested in world missions, what are the different kinds of opportunities that they have to be involved in world missions?
There's no limit, right? One of the things that in world missions today everyone's becoming more and more aware of is the need for professionals of whatever profession. Just go live on mission like you're doing at home. Go be a farmer in wherever, right? Now, obviously, it's going to be different. You got to learn in a language, right? But there's countries like Vietnam where you're not going to get a religious visa to go be a missionary. But there's tons of business, professional opportunities. So we met a doctor from Cuba with his wife that was there. Now, he didn't go, per se, as a missionary. He went because of life, because of whatever. But if we've got churches where everybody learns to live on mission, then when God moves you because you're working, you get transferred, or a lot of people on purpose say, okay, there's hardly any believers in mission in Vietnam, it could be anywhere, you know, a bunch of the same, you know, what are the opportunities to use my job there, right? And so you can act, a lot of people now go and they get a job in those countries and get paid to be there, right, with their profession, but they understand that their job is their ministry. It's their way of living out their faith. And so they go in and say, okay, God's given me the opportunity to be a business person in wherever. How can I do that for the glory of God? How can I use the relationship? And so they end up meeting and talking and working with people that may be a normal, what we consider normal, missionary would never do. But if we go back to Scripture, look at, you know, how did the church in Antioch get started? Acts chapter 11, the church in Antioch, there's persecution in Jerusalem, and the believers had to go. And we don't even know the names of these guys. They're just, you know, Jack and Joe, you know, just brothers in the church, right? But they got persecuted. They had to flee, probably with their families, end up, you know, up north where they're from, of Jerusalem in Antioch. And what did they do? Well, what they'd always done. They lived and shared their faith. And people go, well, tell me about that. Well, let me tell you about it. You know, and so they weren't sent as missionaries, but yet they were. Because God had sent us all. And so I think the mistake that we make, Sam, is that we think that only pastors and missionaries have a calling from God. I was called to ministry. Right? We heard that expression. And the fact of the matter is, God has called every believer to minister. Right? If we look at the New Testament, we are ambassadors. We are servants of Christ. Every believer, you know, like we saw Sunday, we're a kingdom of priests. And, you know, what does that mean? But I really think that we need to reclaim our identity, right, as servants of God, wherever his plan is. And so, yes, then as we're doing that, and we have God's heart, not just for our community, but for the world, we're gonna look for those opportunities. Okay, God, how do you want us to be an influence beyond that? So, I mean, there's so many ways to be involved. But I get back to, you know, traditionally, the missionary said, well, if you want to be a mission, what you do, you either give, you go, or you pray, right? Or all three. And it's so much more than that. Because I would say, no, let's live on mission. All right? Let's live how God intended us to live. And the overflow from that is going to be way more. There's nothing wrong with giving, going, and praying. Those are all good.
Yes.
Okay? It's just there's so much more than that. Right? It's live on mission, and then the opportunities to be used by God. And God's going to, you know, be each one of us. So, you know, your calling now is just as important as mine. And the ministry you had to those kids on the bus and all along this other thing is just as important as where are they going now, Albania, because that's what God called you to do. And so just as much as we had to be in Albania, how do we do this, right? How do we live our faith there and communicate? You've had to figure that out too, right? And you're calling it. So that's why I see the church, the role we have is we help each believer understand their calling. Ephesians 2, we're here to prepare the saints for the work of the ministry. Mine's not, I mean, according to that verse, I'm not even called to the ministry. I'm called to help the saints, right? Live out their ministry at home, wherever God's planted. And so I really think that we need to it's just easy to get into traditions and this is the way we do things and just get together. And it's great to sit and pray and study God's word, but the fact equipping every believer for the ministry that God has called them to do. Right? I think it changes that. So that's a really roundabout answer here. I think it's critical because if we're living that way, then the opportunities to be effective as a church, to send teams, some have young people from the church or older people from the church going out, becomes a lot because we're already living on mission and looking for.
So do you see any connection points between missions and spiritual maturity? How do those two things interact?
Yes. Whole thing of spiritual formation and spiritual maturity. And so God's purpose for each one of us is that today we be more like Jesus than we were yesterday, right? And the good thing is, the bad thing is it never ends. Because we never make it to the right. But the good thing is that we can continually make progress. And even when we go back a step, hopefully it's two steps backwards and three forward, right? So that overall we're making, you know, if you ask Gloria, I mean, why did God send us to Albania? The main reason was there were lessons we needed to learn that if we had stayed in Honduras, El Salvador, and going to the dry creek, we would have never learned them because he had the situations that we needed. So the main thing he was doing in Albania was trying to make us more like Jesus. And the more we let him do that, the more he was going to use us a blessing to others, right? And so when I stop allowing God to form and mature me, right, that's when I start becoming less effective. And so, right, in other words, because if I'm letting my heart be transformed, it's going to show, right? My relationships are going to change, my actions are going to change. God and His Word and His Spirit and my brothers and sisters point out to me when I have a wrong attitude or, you know, when I'm doing things wrong, whatever. And so all of that goes to that. That's why, like I said earlier, spiritual maturity is important because the more mature we are, the better we communicate Christ, and that's why we're here, right? And so we tend to think, I want to be more mature, have better relationships. Yes, right? But it's all about God's reputation. And so spiritual formation, the spiritual maturity is critical because it's, you know, and even the testimonies of people that blow it, but because they're in Christ, they go back and say, man, I'm so sorry. That was so wrong of me to react that way. Or, you know, just that can be a marvelous testimony because God gives me the humility to go back and ask forgiveness and to recognize do that, right? And so even as they see that process of growth, and I'm not perfect either, right? And so they are extremely essential for every believer to fulfill their calling. So it's just as true. I would just say that often when you go to another culture, then you're particularly in a pressure cooker situation that you need, you need to be well-grounded in the Word, you need to have people. Sometimes those circumstances are kind of too much, right? If there's not some, and you need a team around you to train you and years, and so. But again, that's true at every level. That's true for the the homemaker that is called by God to stay at home and not even be out much in the community, right? Because their calling is there. But just as much it's true, they're there, and my goodness, what opportunities to learn and grow and mature, right? Because of the pressures of the family. And that's what God is trying to do with all of us. He's putting us in circumstances because he wants us to be more like Jesus. Not just so we're more like Jesus, because he's left us here to communicate Jesus. So if I'm not letting him work on me, again, the tragedy isn't just that I'm not as happy or whatever. It's that I'm not as effective. I'm poorly communicating Christ because of attitudes, actions, words, whatever. And so you can't separate, you know, the reason, if you look in the New Testament, God calls us to maturity. And in Paul's writing, it's always so that, you know, we can shine the light so that others can see, so that, you know, God is glorified in those around us.
So do you see a relationship between a healthy church and world religions, and how would you define a healthy church?
So, you know, I think if we go to the Great Commission, we see several characteristics of a healthy church. One would be it's a church that makes disciples, right? That's why he left us here. It's a church that's obedient, right? Teaching them to obey all things. It's a church that's led by the Spirit. There's so much that goes into all that, but I would say in the context of what we've been talking about, a mature church or a missionally effective church is a church where every believer is growing more and more into their calling, understands that they have a call from God that's just as important as the pastor's call, and that they come together to figure out how to do that better, right? And so that's what I see as a mature church, because then everybody's going out and going, okay, this is something I need to tweak this week. This is something that God's trying to teach me. And we're constantly spurring one another, like it says in Hebrews. Don't stop coming together to stimulate one another to love and good works. So we can go out and love all people and do good works so that they see Jesus.
It's not just about us. It's about us and our church body.
It's not about us at all. It's about him and his purposes. And that's where we get it wrong, right? We want to be happy in our church, and we like people, and we love each other, and we have such a good time together. That's all good, but that's not why he's left us here, right? And that's where we get distracted so easily. It becomes about us, and it's about him. What is he trying to do in Dry Creek and Reeves and Durango in the area? What has God up to here? Why has he placed us here? He had placed us here just so we can come and be together, and there's nothing wrong. We're supposed to come be together. We're supposed to come be together so we're more effective out there, right? And so that's the continuous challenge we have, not that we just have a good time together. No, we stimulate each other. We encourage one another. We love on one another, but for the purpose of helping each other to be more effective and talk about our issues so that we can overcome them and be more effective in whatever calling he has for each one of us.
So how would you respond to someone that would say, we have plenty of needs in the United States for missionaries. Why are we sending our best and our brightest overseas when we have incredible needs here?
Well, the same thing that Jesus told the disciples. He never said, be missionary, you know, serve in Jerusalem, make disciples there. When you're done, start thinking about Samaria. When you're done with that, think about Judea. And then when you're done with that, to the ends of the earth. When they didn't leave Jerusalem, he brought persecution and kicked them out, so to speak, right? Just get out there, because it's never a matter of first here, then. It's always a matter of simultaneous. And again, it's not our mission. The call to missions is not because of the need. The call to missions is because God is on a mission and invites us the when and where and how he wants to use. I give the example of Hanoi. God didn't show up in Albania when the wall came down. It was completely... So even when the first ones got there, God was able. And so it's not a matter of where the needs are. Of course, I'm going to look where are the needs. Where's the greater need, right? Because God is looking at that, represented that he is here. And so other languages that don't have scripture, and like years ago, all I said to Cameron Townsend, he said, speak my language, right? And so getting scripture into the language of people still, having towns and thousands of towns the size of Christians, not much less a church, only here, of course they're still in here. And God wants every believer here to be living right left us here, right? Not for us to get comfortable. But at the same time, we have to realize that there's a whole world out there. And God's just not right. He's calling people from everywhere to everywhere. His church, he's saying, get out there, you know, and live on mission to the ends of the earth.
In the, or other